today, the story that we gather around, the images that we gather around from the Gospel of Luke, tells of two people, two followers of Jesus, walking away from Jerusalem to their home village 7 miles away. So imagine walking from Peckham to Croydon. And N.T. Wright wonders if this was a couple walking along, Clopas and Mary, walking along these 7 miles. We may or may not have a slide of a picture, a road coming out of Jerusalem. Yes, there we go. Yes, there it is. Here's a road coming out of Jerusalem. There are two followers of Jesus walking along it and having this conversation, trying to work out what had gone on in the last week or so. Their friend Jesus, this teacher that they'd put their trust in, had been crucified, had been killed. And what's more, in the last few days, 3 days later, they'd heard these rumors. These women had said they'd been to the tomb and found that the body had gone. And what's more, they'd seen angels who told them that Jesus was alive. So this couple had a lot to talk about. What on earth had been going on over the last week or so? And then a stranger comes along and joins them. And he talks to them about their scriptures. And the way he talks about these scriptures breathes a kind of new life into the conversation. And they find that the scriptures help them to understand what's been happening over these last days. And they find that the last days help them to understand what's happening, what they read in the scriptures. So when they come to a place where they have a chance to separate, they decide they want to keep the conversation going. We as the readers know that this stranger is Jesus, but they don't know that. And that's where we join the story, which I think Ioana is going to come and read for us.
As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Then they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Thank you. I love this story. It's got such food for meditation, such food for picturing what goes on. So when did you last eat with a stranger? And how did that meal open your eyes? Food is never just about the food. Any Great British Bake Off fans here? Yes, I mean, we're all fans, aren't we? So last week, I won't give any spoilers, but last week the bakers had to make a Yorkshire pudding. And these Yorkshire puddings were not just about the food. Val, one of the bakers, a Yorkshire woman, said that she wouldn't be let back in the county if she didn't succeed in making her Yorkshire pudding. Someone else, Kate, filled her Yorkshire puddings with memories of shared Christmas lunches. Paul Hollywood got more emotional than I've ever seen him before over nostalgia about Sunday meals. So you'll have your own examples as well. Something you ate as a child, something someone once cooked for you, food you shared with somebody you didn't know at happy times or at sad times, at times of crisis. Food is never just about the food. So in the Gospel of Luke, where there are more meals than in any other gospel, you know it's not just about sustenance. You know it's not just about eating. We all eat. It's more of an equalizer than anything else. And I think one of the things that Luke is doing with all these meals is he's just ramming home the point that Jesus was real-life human being who ate just like all of us did. And sharing meals, eating with other people, that's also pretty normal in Jesus' culture. He was a Middle Eastern Jew. Jewish people had been commanded to feast together at various occasions. There was a hospitality embedded in the culture, so it wasn't unusual to eat with other people. But if you look a bit more closely at the meals that Luke describes, he's also doing something a little bit more than that as well. And here we sometimes have bring and share meals at church, but here we're going to have a bit more of a bring and share sermon. So more conversations with your neighbours. I don't know how we're going to call you to attention again afterwards. We'll have to work on that. But I would invite you to talk to the neighbour you just shared your story about breakfast with, and either try and remember some of the meals that Jesus ate from your reading of the Bible, or there's another slide going to come up with some examples, some of the meals that Jesus ate in Luke. Turn to one of them and find out, who did Jesus eat with? Who did Jesus eat with? Turn to your neighbours and I will blow a whistle or something. Alrighty, let's see how we get on. We're just going to do this quite briefly. So it's going to be shouting out anyone that you can remember or you found out from looking up some of these references. Who are some of the people that Jesus eats with? Yeah. Tax collector. Yes, great. Was there someone from over here? Martha and Mary. Brilliant. Yes. Yeah. Zacchaeus, another tax collector. His disciples. Yeah, his friends. Oh, sorry. Who was that? Disciples in the storm, yeah. 5,000 people all at once, this is brilliant, yeah. We'll have one more. A wedding, yeah, he ate at a wedding feast, yeah, brilliant. Okay, these are a few. Here's my list coming up. These are who he eats with in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, maybe. Actually, you've said most of them. Let's see if these people spring up on the screen. Okay, maybe not. Okay, so you've listed some of these people. He eats with tax collectors. He eats with Pharisees. Several times he accepts an invitation from a Pharisee to go and eat at their house. He accepts an invitation from Zacchaeus. He eats with Martha and Mary, these very suspicious single women. He eats with his disciples. The question might not be, who does Jesus eat with, but who will he not eat with? Is there anyone who Jesus will not accept an invitation from? It seems not. He'll accept an invitation from the Pharisees who are plotting and conspiring against him to kill him. He'll accept an invitation from a tax collector who's a hated collaborator with the regime. He'll accept an invitation from two single women living together. That could be all sorts of dodgy rumours spreading in that invitation. What business does Jesus have accepting all these invitations to eat with people? Food is never just about food. And then there's this meal that we read about today at Emmaus. And in writing about it, Luke, who is a skilled writer, he's quite deliberately saying this isn't just this one meal. He's pointing to other significant meals in the story of God and his creation. So if you look at the wording, if you've got it open in front of you, So it may be a man and a woman, a couple eating here with Jesus. And it says here, he broke bread, gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. And I wonder if that wording sounds familiar to anyone, of a man and a woman eating and their eyes being opened. Luke is deliberately pointing towards the story at the beginning of creation where a man and a woman ate a forbidden fruit and their eyes were opened and what they saw was shame and death and sin. What was opened up to them was a new way of which would lead them to death. This, N.T. Wright says, is the first meal of a new creation. And when this man and woman's eyes are opened, what they see is a new creation. What they see is a king who has conquered death and is inviting them into a new way of being, a way of being which doesn't lead towards sin and death, but leads towards life in all its fullness. So Jesus has won a victory over death, and he's won a victory over the ways of death, over division, over violence, over the boundaries that separate people from people and cause us to do violence to one another. He's leading the way into his new kingdom. So this food, excuse me, is not just about food. Whenever Jesus eats with people in this gospel, in Luke's gospel, it's pointed towards something greater. He eats with people all over cultural and economic and religious boundaries to show that these boundaries, these divisions, have no part to play in his new kingdom. He shares abundantly with crowds from the gift of a small boy to show that in his new kingdom, in the new creation, it's a place where our gifts are taken and transformed and abundantly shared. Jesus elsewhere describes the kingdom of heaven as like a feast, like a wedding banquet. And the fact that we can see Jesus eating in his resurrected body here, and Luke more than once points to Jesus eating in his resurrected body, I think it gives us a clue that when we are all raised with Jesus in our resurrected bodies, we too will feast, we'll eat together. I think it's a sign that there will be eating in the new creation. And if I think that's a hallelujah moment, isn't it? We'll get to eat, we'll feast together in our resurrected states. So when Jesus eats with people, he's pointing towards a new creation, a kingdom of heaven. He is inviting those he eats with to have their eyes opened and to see this new creation and a huge wedding feast to come. Food is never just about food. And yet, sometimes I will just grab a sandwich and eat it over my computer. And yet, sometimes I will pass up the opportunity to share food with somebody who needs it. I've been really challenged about thinking about this, and there's no spiritualizing of this issue. This is one of those times when the Spirit of God is seeking to transform our diaries and our plans, as well as our hearts and our spirits. It's reminded me of a time when I was working for Christian Aid, and I was looking after a Christian Aid partner from Cambodia for a week or so. And we were going around all sorts of meetings and all sorts of people's homes and different places together. And we were eating together at most of our meals. And this was a man of very deep faith. He'd become a Christian in a refugee camp where he was recovering from a level of hunger I can't begin to imagine. Under the Khmer Rouge, he'd seen several of his family die of starvation in a labor camp where their food was just water with a few grains of rice boiled in it. And I will always remember him showing me how he would have to stand up in a special way because the muscles of his legs were so weak because he was so hungry. And this amazing, quiet, godly man would start every meal by bowing his head and quite an extended moment of giving thanks for what was in front of him. And sometimes he'd say grace aloud, and sometimes he'd just, for quite some time, give thanks quietly for all the food that was in front of him. Meals, honestly, with him were transformational. This was a man who had met the risen Christ, and he knew that every meal offered him the chance to meet the risen Christ again. So do we want to meet the risen Christ? I do. Do we want to meet him again and again? Do we want to meet him at the meals that we have every day? We have the opportunity every day to meet him. Do we want to have him talk to us about the scriptures in ways which, as the reading said, make our hearts burn within us? Do we want to meet him in conversations with strangers? Do we want to meet him over meals? This sermon is one of a series where we're thinking about ways in which we might bless those around us. And we've reached the opportunity to think about the blessing it is to eat with another person. But this is one of those characteristic examples of God's blessing. It never just goes one way. When we eat with others, perhaps especially when we look to those who Jesus ate with, when we seek to follow his example and cross boundaries of economic divides or cultural divides or whatever it might be, the blessing is going to go all the way around the table. this couple at Emmaus who opened their home and shared their table with somebody who they'd just met on the road, ended up meeting with the risen Christ. And God's amazing provision, that's what a meal can do for us. So this is a picture, maybe, which may or may not be Emmaus. Another slide, let's see if that works. Oh, yes. No one's really sure the exact spot where this encounter happened. So there are several different places which might or might not mark the spot of where Jesus broke bread with his friends. But I think there's something great about the fact that nobody really knows where this specific spot was, because the point is it was a meal, not where the meal was. The point is Jesus revealed himself to his friends when they ate, not that he just revealed himself to some friends when he ate. So this is Emmaus, and I want to ask you, where might be your Emmaus this week? Where might be your Emmaus this week? Is there one meal that you could do in a different way and ask Jesus to meet you in it? I've got a few examples coming up on the slide. And if you're the sort of person, if you rarely get a chance to eat other than just having a quick sandwich over your desk at work, how about saying to a colleague, should we just get half an hour and grab a quick sandwich and take a break? Maybe you can just cook a little bit too much for Sunday lunch next week and invite someone along, or you can accept an invitation to Sunday lunch. You could come along to Food Cycle here, which happens on every Saturday at 5:30 in our hall. You could come along to our community cafe on Tuesday or Wednesday mornings. You could say grace. Maybe that's a practice that you always have, but maybe it's something that you could do a bit more intentionally, to look at the meal in front of you, to ask Jesus to meet you in it, wherever you might be, even if it's in an awkward situation in McDonald's, saying thanks for your meal. You could Google Cocktails in Care Homes. Cocktails in Care Homes is an organisation or a project whereby you can go and join a cocktail party in a care home and, as the name suggests, have a cocktail and have a chat with some people who live in care homes. Google it if you want to find out some more about that. You could have other thoughts about what works in your life, what works for you, in what ways might Jesus want to be meeting you in one meal this week. Where is your Emmaus? It might not have been that countercultural in Jesus' day to eat with other people, but we live in a city where there is a great deal of loneliness. 40% of older people report the television as their main source of company. In Psalm 68, the psalmist says that God places the lonely in families, and I believe we are God's strategy for that. We are God's strategy for how he places the lonely in families. And families are complex and messy, and they don't have fine quality meals all the time. Sometimes they just have beans on toast. That's the kind of invitational community I believe we're invited to be a part of. God's hospitable, welcoming character is not only reflected by extroverts who are really good at big, noisy meals, but it's reflected by introverts who are better at one-on-one conversations, at quiet invitations to shy colleagues or friends. We are a needed strategy in today's city for God placing the lonely in families, and meals are a great context to do that. Eating alone isn't always the same as being lonely. It can be wonderful and peaceful and needful sometimes, but there are people who are habitually eating alone, and it's not because they've chosen to. So this week, this month, how might God want to reveal himself to you as you share a meal with somebody? So we're going to take a moment and ask God to speak to us about what he might be inviting us to do. One meal this week. Is there one meal this week which you could do in a different way, in which you could offer Jesus the chance to open your eyes? So we're going to have a moment of quiet to do that, and then I'll invite you to talk to your neighbour again and see if anything sprung to mind. And the answer might be, actually, I don't really know. I don't really know what I might do. Or the answer might be, do you want to come to Sunday lunch next week? Or who knows what it might be. We'll take a moment, we'll listen to God, we'll listen to God, and then we'll pray over what we've heard. it's such a gift to have meals with people we don't know. We never know what we'll encounter. And when we open the door to those unexpected things, we can meet God in extraordinary new ways. So turn to your neighbour, and if anything has sprung to mind that you might want to do this week, one meal you might want to do differently, share that with your neighbour. And if you're still thinking about it, don't quite know what that is, share that with them, and maybe they will offer you some encouragement or some prayer for it. Take a moment to share with your neighbour what you think you could do. So these might be conversations you'll continue over tea and coffee after the service, which is a very appropriate way of continuing these conversations. And I hope the tea and coffee team have got lots of extra biscuits laid on as we're all feeling extra hungry. So we're going to come and sing together. But before we do that, I would like to invite us to pray over the plans and thoughts and ideas that we might have just had, we might have just discussed, that God might be planting in our hearts. And the words that we're going to use to pray over these plans and ideas are words from the beautiful ancient service of Compline. Compline offers the chance to basically open our eyes to see God, to meet Christ. And it contains the words, "Come with the dawning of the day and make yourself known in the breaking of bread." And those words point towards communion, but I think we could use them to pray over all our meals in the coming week, that God would meet us as we break bread with people, as we break bread ourselves and with Jesus with us, that he would meet us. So we're going to pray these prayers together. I'll say the first line if you want to say the second line. Can you see that? Is that big enough to see? And then we'll, if the band want to come up, then we will lead into a time of sung worship together. Let's pray. As the night watch looks for the morning, so do we look for you, O Christ. Come with the dawning of the day and make yourself known in the breaking of bread. Amen. So as the band come up, let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you reveal yourself to us so graciously throughout our lives. Thank you that you are a generous and hospitable God, that there is no invitation that you will turn down. We want to meet you. We want to know you more. We want to come into your risen life. I pray that you will bless our eating this week, this month, and always with an awareness of you present with us. I pray that you will take what we give you, our small offerings, and transform these things to be part of your kingdom, the wedding feast of your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus.